and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we arrive at the last Sunday in the church year with the celebration of the Feast of Christ the King. What that means is that next week is actually New Year's Day in church, even though it's not on the calendar New Year's Day. And what this means for us is that the whole course of the church year has been one progressive movement through the life of Jesus. We have moved from his birth, the announcement of his birth, to his baptism, to his crucifixion, to his resurrection and ascension, to the promises that he's made about his second coming, to finally a return to the message that was delivered on Ascension Day, which is that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that he is coming one day again to judge the living and the dead. So it makes a lot of sense for our gospel lesson today to be an announcement of how things will be when he comes to judge the world. That is, after all, the scene that we see in our gospel lesson today. Now that said, we should probably clear up a few things right from the start. To be perfectly honest, there are two ways that we could go really wrong with our gospel lesson today. The first way that we could go wrong would be to interpret Jesus' words as though he's advocating salvation by works. That would be the first way that we could screw this whole narrative up. It would be a total misreading of the text if we thought that Jesus is saying that the sheep are let into his kingdom because of all the good works that they did, those good works being feeding the hungry and welcoming strangers and clothing the naked and caring for the sick and visiting prisoners. That needs to be said right from the top, because unfortunately, when people often hear this particular narrative, that is the first thing that seems to pop into their minds, that Jesus is advocating that if we do these good works, God will call us sheep, and God will let us into his kingdom. But let me be abundantly clear. Jesus is not saying that we are saved by our works. That is not at all what this narrative is getting at. The second way that we could go wrong here is to assume that when Jesus talks about doing these loving acts to one of the least of these who are members of my family, that the people he is talking about here are human beings in general. That is, members of the human family, especially those who are underprivileged and disadvantaged in some way. In other words, it would be a mishearing of Jesus if we thought that he was commending the sheep for caring for the hungry, the thirsty, strangers, the naked, the sick, and prisoners in general. As good as those things are, and in other places of Scripture, there are plenty of passages where that is being advocated, that we care for humanity in general in their times of need. That's not actually what Jesus is talking about here. There was something that was always said to us in seminary when we were preparing to preach. If you preached a sermon, you might get the comment, "Right idea, wrong text." And that's what happens here when we think that Jesus is talking about dealing with prisoners and the hungry and the sick in general. He's not. There's something more going on here. But we'll get to that shortly. So with those two landmines out of the way, let's look at the text to actually see what Jesus is saying. Jesus starts this morning's lesson, which, by the way, is sometimes called a parable by people, but it's actually not a parable. In its proper sense, this is a straight-up announcing of how things will be, simply denoting human beings as either sheep or goats. So it's telling us how things are going to be when the king comes again in his glory with his angels. And what he says is that he will take his throne and all nations will be gathered to him. In other words, as Scripture tells us elsewhere, all human beings are going to be raised in their body on the last day, not just faithful followers of our Lord Jesus, but all people will be raised in their bodies. This is what we call the general resurrection of the dead, and that will take shape at the coming of Christ. And then he says he is going to start separating people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. And then he will announce to the sheep at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In short, Jesus says they're those who are blessed by God the Father, and they're now going to have the goods all handed over to them. God's going to open up the treasure chest, as it were, and pour out all the blessings on them that he had promised that he would give to them through Jesus. So everything that Jesus won for them, everything that Jesus accomplished for them, is being given to these sheep. This is when Jesus gives a reason for why they're blessed and why they're being given an inheritance. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you visited me." Of course, as Jesus tells this story, it seems that the sheep have no knowledge of doing these things to Jesus. And so they ask him when this took place. "When did we do these things to you, Lord?" And his answer is, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Now, the New Revised Standard Version, which is the translation that we're authorized to use here in church, and the one that I just read that gospel lesson to you from, in an effort to be gender inclusive with their language, which, to be fair, I think they did a pretty good job of still capturing the sense of what's being said here, I think they also might have obscured things just a little bit. In the original Greek, this is what Jesus says: "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." So they change "my brothers" to say members of my family, right? Now that term "brothers" in Greek in the New Testament has a very specific pointer, and it is not men. That's important. It is not men alone. When the Greek uses the word "brothers," it means all Christians, both men and women. So if you read Paul's letters, if you read the words of Jesus elsewhere, and he refers to groups as "my brothers," that's not meant to say men are better than women, and this is only men that we're dealing with. It's just a shorthand way, based on the times, of saying all Christian believers. What you've done to all Christian believers, Jesus is saying here. So what the sheep didn't do just to general people out there in the public. What they did to Christian brothers and sisters. And so the NRSV is kind of close when it said, "every member of my family," or "the least of these members of my family," as they put it. That's right, the Christian family, not the human family. Okay? So Jesus is denoting that these things are done to fellow believers in Christ, not to the general populace. But there's also more going on than just that here. This is actually a little bit of a callback to something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Jesus said there a little bit earlier in the gospel, "Whoever welcomes you," and there he's speaking to his disciples that he is preparing to send out to preach his word to the world. He's sending the disciples out to proclaim the gospel. And Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you as you're going out to proclaim the gospel welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." So to welcome a disciple of Jesus who has come to proclaim the gospel to you is to welcome Jesus himself. It's to welcome God the Father as well. And Jesus says then that whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, and that there will be a reward for that welcome, he goes on to say. And that reward that he's talking about here, of course, the reward of welcoming a person who has come to share the gospel with you, to announce the forgiveness of sins to you, to give you the good news of the hope of the resurrection, the reward is the reward of grace. It's the reward that you will be blessed with forgiveness, and you will be blessed with the hope of the resurrection. You will be blessed with the promise of new life. That is the same point that Jesus is making about the sheep. The sheep are the sheep because they welcomed those Christians, that is, his brothers, members of the Christian family, members of Jesus' family, who came to them often hungry and thirsty and strangers and naked and sick and sometimes ending up in prison for sharing the gospel, all so that they could bring the gospel to these people. If you want good evidence of this, read the book of Acts. Read Paul's letters. What happened when the Christians went out to share the good news? Very often they were persecuted, imprisoned, they went hungry, they found themselves exiled and cast away from the people in the world around them because they were going to preach the gospel. That's what Jesus is talking about here. What the sheep did, they received the messengers of Jesus, and they provided for their needs as they came to share the gospel with them. And so Jesus says here that they are blessed because of that. They are blessed because they welcomed the gospel when the gospel came to them. So the sheep are not the sheep because they did good works, although that no doubt followed. All Christians will do good works because God has promised that he will work those works in us by his Spirit. But what they did here that was good is that they received Jesus' messengers when those messengers came. On the other hand, the goats here, that is the unfaithful, those who were accursed and cast into hell, Jesus said. And notice that Jesus makes clear here, hell is not prepared for human beings. Hell is only prepared for the devil and his angels. Human beings don't belong there, but yet some find themselves there ultimately in the end. The goats are goats. Why? Because they refused to receive Jesus' messengers. When Jesus sent people to speak the gospel to them, they persecuted them and rejected them and drove them away and said, we want nothing to do with that. We don't want to hear this nonsense about the forgiveness of sins. We don't want to hear this nonsense about a dying and rising God in some way. We want nothing to do with that. And Jesus said the sad reality, the heartbreaking reality of that is that when that is rejected, God casts them off. So the point of this text is that one is a sheep or a goat based on whether or not we have heard the good news, whether or not we have received the messengers of Christ, the preachers of Christ, the proclaimers of Christ, who have come with the gospel promise of forgiveness and new life. In short, one is a sheep or a goat based on whether they have heard the gospel and believe that gospel in faith. To those who have the sheep, there's a promise of blessing and there's a promise of inheritance that was prepared from before the foundation of the world. To those who've rejected the gospel, that is the goats, there's judgment and eternal punishment. That's the point Jesus is making. Everything hangs on what we do with the messengers that Jesus sends to us, with the proclaimers of the word that Jesus sends to us. Now, it would probably be a bit premature for me to end the sermon here at this point. After all, having preached this this text a couple of times now, and being a human being who hears, I know how this text works on people. And one of the things that instantly comes up in people's hearts is the concern, am I a sheep or a goat? Right? That's probably what you were worried about when you heard the text being read. Am I a sheep or a goat? And then we begin to get into panic that maybe I'm one of the goats. It's terrible when you think that it's all based on works, isn't it? Because then you think, well, I haven't helped any prisoners out unless I'm Rochelle. I haven't fed any hungry people or clothed the naked or anything like that, right? So we find ourselves starting to get panicked about this. Well, I would not be doing my job if I left you in that state of panic. So let me tell you clearly and pointedly that by God's grace, my friends, you are sheep. You are sheep. You are sheep not because of what you have done. You are sheep because God sent his faithful followers to preach the gospel to you. At some point in your life, God has sent faithful people to witness to Jesus to you. And you heard them, and you received them, and you believed the message that he came to send. And maybe he even took care of them and fed them and gave them something to drink or something like that. That means that you have welcomed Jesus because you've welcomed them. That's the promise Jesus is making. You have heard the gospel promise. You have been baptized into the name of the triune God. And you have faith in Jesus because Jesus has worked that faith in you. And Jesus is going to keep working that faith in you. You are the blessed of God the Father, and that means that you have an inheritance coming to you. Notice in the text that Jesus separates the sheep and the goats right away, and it's clear that the sheep are not separated from the goats based on what they've done. He just separates them. Why? Because he knows who trusted in him. He knows who belongs to him, and you belong to him. You belong to him because he has said you belong to him. In fact, you're going to inherit that kingdom that Jesus has prepared for you. So through faith in Jesus, God is promising you that on the last day, when the judgment comes, you will be on the right hand of God and you will hear the pronouncements of blessing. You have nothing to fear in this because Jesus has saved you. You're not saving yourself. Jesus has saved you. And Jesus has saved you not based on anything you've done, but based solely on his mercy and on his grace toward you. He did it all for you, and he has given it all to you as a free gift of his love. That's the promise God has for you this morning. Amen.